It's good to be here. Not that I'm that far away, but it's good to be here. And sense the presence of the Lord to find the prayer meeting. There must have been 25 people there this morning, wasn't there? 25 people on a Sunday morning praying just for blessings on the church and on the community. That's really remarkable, I think. I think that's God's doing something, and we're seeing the result of that. That you had to come by the VBS here to really get a full sense of the smell, the sights, the sounds. I just took my proverbial hat off to all the workers. Thank you. What a huge job you've done. Just amazing. There's so much work. And you tackled it. And you must have been just completely disheveled after all that. I don't know. Anyway, thank you for your labor of love. It's remarkable. This morning, I want to talk about, I called it something here. I called it God's instrument for God's moment. I got a phone call this week from an old friend that I haven't talked to for quite a while. And this is back in Calgary days. And we got to know him, and he got to know us. He was with Transit, and he did a good job with them. But this job we had one night, we were doing a puppet show. He's reminding me of this. Just 2 days ago, 3 days ago. He's reminding me of that. And he said, remember that? He said, we were doing that puppet show, and it was about 9 o'clock at night. And he said, we were down there on our knees, and we were talking. Well, why don't... And he said, remember that? And yeah, he said, yeah. And you remember? He said, the door opened, and that real creepy kind of that guy came in. His glasses are wired to his jacket and his shirt, and a trench coat, and a disheveled look. And he came in, and he said, we were down there playing, and he paused. I said, we're going to hear blast now. We're going to get it here. And he shouts out, and he says, when the trumpet sounds, where will you be? Praying or playing? And Neil, oh, I guess that would make it playing. Then we just fell over backwards on the floor. We were just laughing so much. He didn't laugh as much. Kind of was, but you know, 30 years later, he's reminding me of a story. Do you know he got gloriously saved? He was a real party guy, and I mean, really a party guy. Shameful stuff that he was involved with, and God delivered him, and and this is what he said. I say this not to draw attention to myself, but to make a point. He says, Owen, you played a really big role in my life during that time. I said, really? I wasn't conscious of that. No, he said, big time. He said that you were coming into my life, and then things moved on, and we changed, and he changed, everybody changed, but I was, for that moment, God's instrument. God's instrument for God's moment. It wasn't to be longer, although we could have got together easily, I'm sure. But it was the moment. And his friend came to know the Lord. A number of them, actually, they were working with Transit. And it was remarkable to see what God had done and what God was doing. And I say that to you. Look for the moment. God is going to use you, but look for the moment. Let me just read some of the things. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, so see then that you have the opportunity, let us do good. Some say you're called do-gooders. Yeah, that's not such a bad title. Do-gooders. Let us do good. Anytime you get a chance, ride on that and see where that will take you. And especially to those who are of the household of faith. So if they know Jesus, he said, to make sure you look up, they really look after them. Wow, the opportunity to do good, to see what God would, how he would use that. And we have these opportunities come. They don't always stay so long, but they come for a while, and we can learn from them. An ordained moment. That's powerful, an ordained moment, so that we are anointed and appointed and ordained. Say that with me. Anointed, appointed, ordained. That's what we're called. We're called by the Lord. He will anoint me for the moment. And he will use me, and he will use you in so many wonderful ways. It defies description. It's powerful. It's wonderful. See, it's always exciting to be used of God. Next to knowing the Lord yourself, to have Jesus coming into your heart and have your sins forgiven and your names written in the Lamb Book of Life, that's pretty heady stuff. But apart from that, the other thing is that when God puts his hand on you and wants to use you, most of us balk at this moment and say, well, I don't think he would use me. Oh, he'll use you. You can count on that. There will be all kinds of ordained moments. And you just watch what the Lord will do. And you can't copy it again. It's just something, it's just how it works out. But it's always exciting to see what God will do in another human's life. And you can hardly believe it, how wonderful and overwhelmingly delightful to say, I was a part of that, not even knowing that I was a part of it. So here's the problem. It's easy to get confused between my role, our role, and God's role. Never sure. But I've learned some things. Christians, this is my take on it, Christians are responsible for care. I think we all agree with that. God is responsible for cure. We look after the care, God looks after the cure. Our job in these end times, I think we are in the end times, our job is to prepare the ground for the great cure giver to see what he will do. Psalm 23, this is such an interesting verse. He restoreth my soul. You know how many people there are in a week, a month, a year that have been completely unrestored? That divorce has hit. The children have had some problems. There's all kinds of really difficult moments. And we're called to build up people. We can do very little, but we can be there. And I would suggest that as you think about this whole thing of him restoring his soul, our souls. Yeah. I look back at my life, I got numbers of cases of that where really difficult times people have got themselves into, and I can hardly believe that it happened. It's just so weird and so strange. And I remember one guy shot himself, and it was, you know, he's just over. I was trying to help, trying to be a blessing. I think in some ways I was trying to be a cure giver when only God can do that. I wanted to spare him. I wanted to keep him from taking his life, but I couldn't. I failed. I couldn't do that very thing that I spent probably 5 years every day for a long time. And then to find out that he took his life and his son, you know, just outside the door from his son. And you say, oh, I should, if I only could have. Well, yes, it would be a nice idea. And you can care, but you can't cure. So our job is to concentrate the best therapeutic situation for someone to grow. We can bring people a long ways. And by the way, it has nothing to do with being a clergy. It has everything to do with just having a heart for people and looking for that opportunity, being willing just to kind of plug into that and see what God will do. Therapeutic situations, healthy healing moments, where that person has come into your life or into my life and sometimes drive you crazy, right? Because they don't come alone. They come with a lot of problems. And it's just, there's just so many people like that. And so we have a job to do, is to bring therapy into their life. And through Bible studies, having them grow, prayer meetings, and all kinds of things. And they can look back and say, boy, God restored my soul. And it happened in the church, or it happened here, or it happened there. But there's all kinds of people who they would not be here today, even in this church. You would not be here, and you know you wouldn't be here She said, but God put his hand and spared them and grow, and now they're strong believers. And all we could do was, well, did we save them? No. I can remember one time in a church, this little girl came up with the mother, I think it was, and she got talking to someone there, and she looks up at me and she says, are you God? Because this was God's house, and the mother had referred him to the house of the Lord, I guess that's what it was. Are you God? I said, I'd like to think I am, but I'm not. But you that child, they weren't sure what to think of that, but I obviously may think I am, but I have not reached that direction. And so what do? We develop trust and communication. So that person trusts. We've got friends in our lives that Val's influenced them. And they're just friendship things right now. Just talk. We just talk over the fence. And but there's all kinds of interest and all kinds of people. And I thought, yeah, it's funny. We like to say, you guys, we'll befriend you only if you get saved. No, you can't. Just to have them as a neighbor, caring for them. Hopefully that will come across. But I know if it ever does, if it ever something happens, it'll be because of cookies, and it'll be because of cake, and that's how it'll be. That'll be the method of it, and because of cats and everything, it was just that's what it'll be. Why, hours and hours and talking and communication and sharing, and that's wonderful. See, God determines how it's going to be. But you just make yourself available. And acceptance and love. Because, you know, I find something that most people aren't really that interested in our church. Are they really? I mean, are people lining up? No, I don't think so. But they are lining up to us. And they line up to you. They trust you. You could do stuff together. You could go somewhere together or have somebody in. You could do that because they, why? Because they trust you. Because you have a reputation as a trustworthy person. Well, that's wonderful when it happens. See, helping people, and that's what we're in, the people helping business. That's our role. We're to touch the lives of people. And it's not an easy job. It kind of seems like it would be. You kind of lunge into it and say, well, I'm going to change the world for Christ. I know that it takes more than 2 days, and you're not sure what to do. But it's hard work, because people don't behave in the way you think they might behave. It's a different dynamic. And I've got some people in my life, but some of them haven't shown an interest. I think partly because they're guys, right? Guys don't show a lot of interest. But it's mostly hard work. So when you get involved in somebody's life, you have to stick with them. I think that's the only possible thing that could have. Going for coffee, say, we've been for coffee 100 times. Yeah, it's good. That's good. And if the Lord creates something, this therapeutic situation, how wonderful. But maybe not. Maybe it's not going to happen at all the way I think it should be. So we live in a sinful world. This is the real problem. This sinful world, and it's full of things. It's full of heartaches. We're called to love a generation of people that, for the most part, have rejected Christ. That it doesn't interest them very much. They're good people. They're nice people. They're delightful people in some cases. And they're in this world too. But it's full of heartaches, full of tragedies, all kinds of tragedies. Their life is a tragedy. And you feel sad for them. But what can you do? You can't. Well, if you would just get saved, if you would just give your heart to Jesus. No, they don't necessarily want that. They might want a different this or that or something else, but they're not really looking. They're just looking for a relief. And a shoulder to talk to and to lean on. And so, how do we see ourselves? Well, our ministry, as I said, our ministry is to this world is to create therapeutic situations, always looking for a moment like that, that God would use you, and that build up people in need. They lift up people. That's where it's at. And I'm learning some things in my own heart that God wants me to be a Christian before he wants me to be a clergy. To be a Christ follower, to follow the Lord. Because people, again, don't care. In a way, they don't care that Marcel and I are ordained ministers. They don't say, oh, a minister, that doesn't have any bearing. It used to. At one time it would have. But it doesn't now. In other words, you have to simply create confidence and trust, and they'll trust you not because you're a minister, but because you're authentic. And God's calling you and I here today to be authentic, to be genuine, that when people draw close, they sense the right things. Therapeutic moments can do that. And you simply trust the Lord for them. And I'd always like to think, I always hoped that there would be some person that all they need is a couple of little refinements, just a little tightening here, a little tightening there. Oh, good, you're good to go now. And then I can go on to the next person. And it's not that way at all. You come with a person, the neediest person in all of the whole community, and they come, and it's just remarkable that they'd even, it's just amazing how that works, but they end up in your life and say, why can't I have normal people? Just ordinary people that don't have a lot of problems, just a few little problems. Not this crazy stuff in their life, but you can't choose it. Even now, if we hope that the doors would open and a really together person walked in, oh, membership's going to be up. And you go to the door and are you together? We only want people that are together, because the rest takes so long. They do. And some of you took a long time to get set free. It's powerful, actually, when you think about how it works. But God's instruments for his moments. And I want to be, myself personally speaking, I want to be in the right place, doing the right thing, being available to God, and watching him watch his magic, if I can use that carefully. That's the thing I'd like to do more than anything else, just to be in the right place. And so that there, I would wish that I've had every year probably somebody that kind of we got close together, and I was able to minister, and they were able to minister and grow too. But it was it's not as often as you'd like it to be. And you'd wish that they would automatically be interested in Jesus, and they're not necessarily. And the question is, can I live with that? Can I live with the fact that people want to be a friend, but they don't want to go to church? I think so. Can we accept it that these people, they don't want to go to the Bible study, and they don't want to go to the this we've set up, and they say, oh, it's really good, you'd really like it, and they don't show an interest. To me, it's crushing at first. They don't want to do it. They'd really like this if we could do this and this and this. And you have to just kind of say, well, I guess it's not going to happen. But will I be a friend now that we've established that they're not interested in church, but they're interested in me? They're not interested in church, they're interested in you. To a degree that if you honestly and truly befriend them so that there's something in common, I think that this could be some amazing stuff begin to happen, and you would be, it'd be one of the best years of your life. Because I think this, God's actually preparing me for the next round. There's going to be somebody come into my life that I can make a difference in. Again, not because I'm a clergy, but simply because I know Jesus. And to pray for this individual so that we can create the therapeutic situation, build up people, encourage people wherever we can. I find there's a lot of wonderful people, isn't there? We've kind of painted them as kind of bad, sinful people, and they are, and we are. But you get to meet some of these people, it's hard to believe, man, do they really need Jesus? It seems like maybe they wouldn't need Jesus. They seem more together than I am. And you have to just keep going with it. But Can you imagine, as we go into from August into September, October, November, imagine God using you if you were in the right place at the right time, helping somebody. You didn't even plan it. It wasn't structured. It's just that you have this opportunity to get close to somebody. And not always talk about the Lord. Talk about life. Life's important. And I find, I'm incurable on this. I can't stop talking about Jesus. And it kind of, it kind of wrecks it. Because I end up talking about it, and I can see they're not quite ready for it. They're just kind of, wow. And then I'm explaining the tribulation or something. And they're not that interested in it, but I thought it was interesting. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4 is a mind-boggling chapter or verse. It says, "Those who comfort us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction." See, we find that people, in their own life have had all kinds of these problems, and we had problems, and we were comforted by these great problems that we've had, and now we are able to turn to somebody else and comfort them with the same comfort, Paul says, with the same comfort that they were comforted with. And it's my afflictions. I come and I can share with somebody. And so we aren't called, and this is really true, we aren't called to save the world. We're called to serve Christ. He'll have to do it. But we're not going to save the world. I'd like to save the world. I'd like to do it very quickly and shortly. I really would. But that's not going to work there. But we're not called. That's not the call. Like Pac-Man. Remember the Christian chasing you? It kind of has that feel about it. Nobody wants to be a project. That's one of the things I'm learning too. Nobody's called to be a project. They have to feel validated that they're cool and they're wonderful and they're beautiful persons and we're glad we've met them. And can they come for the barbecue? Or can they come for, you want to come join us for this? And so we create, and so doing create, and that's one of the things about the church is a really, the parents that brought kids to this thing all week long, they would be impressed with it had they seen it all. And that'd be the kind of situation that would even say, come with, and they enter into that situation. And then they go to something else, and then something else, and something else, because they had good experiences all the way along. And we would say, oh, God, just give us more therapeutic moments that people can bring people to, and just to come and drink coffee with us, just to be with us. So we would have places for people to be listened to and cared for and shared with. So we aren't called to care to save the world, and we aren't called to heal anybody. I've never healed anybody. Have you? I don't think so. I don't think you have. Jesus did, but I didn't. I can't take any credit for it. Jesus, I've seen that numbers of times. That person from that point on got better, and they recovered. And so we marvel at it, and we say, that's wonderful when that happens. But we aren't called to heal everybody. That's not the mandate. The mandate is simply to be a believer who's deeply in love with Christ, and that you come across in a way that you're attractive. The people sense it. They sense that you've got the real thing. And what a great opportunity. I mean, it's amazing. So we're not called to deliver anyone. In terms of deliverance. I'm reading a book right now on deliverance. But it's for a different level. I could tell that as soon as I started reading it. But it's okay. And I'm going to get a chance. I know, because I felt led to read the book, I know I'm going to have an opportunity to share. It just has that feel about it already. And so what can we say as an instrument of God? Because that's what, to be his hand extended, reaching out to the oppressed. an instrument of God. And that, if it, maybe that's as high as it's going to go. Say, how is it? Well, I'm an instrument of God. Yeah. My friend Dale, he thinks that I was, all the way from Calgary, he thinks I was an instrument. Because apparently, I spoke into his life. Was it very long? No. Less than a year. And then we all went different ways. But I can still mention to that, and we just... instant bonding again because of that time we had spent. And so we say to the Lord, Lord, here I am. Somehow, Lord, make me available to you so that people would be encouraged. Not necessarily saved, not necessarily delivered, maybe. But that's not the call. It's simply to show up and see what God will do. And to be available, and this availability is huge, absolutely huge. Because you say, if you're not available, how can God use you? How can he use me? But if I say, Lord, I don't know what you would do with me if you had full thing, but I'm willing to give myself to you that you would put your hand upon me. And I've been saved to serve. I've been saved to serve. You have been saved to serve. You haven't been saved to go to heaven. That was a given. You're already going to heaven if you know Jesus. But you've been saved to serve the Lord, to give your life for him, and have some wonderful things happen. Just all kinds of funny, happy things that in your life you say, you know, I met this person, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. See, I find ministry, it's hilarious. You get people in your life that you never even dreamed and it would ever happen. And then you wonder why you've asked the Lord to help you. Because it didn't seem like such. It seemed like a lot of work. You know, people phoning you and wanting to go for coffee. And well, that's nothing wrong with any of that. It's all good. But it has that Lord, I'm going to take this serious. I'm going to be, by your grace, your hand extended. And I'll be available. I'm going to be, as I go into September, I'm going to be available to see what God will do. He may not do anything that you can look at and put your hand on. Or it may come a little bit later, or it may come a little bit earlier. But it will come. I'm absolutely, totally believing. You know, I one time, going back to my Regina days, and we were interning, and I was ministering to my father, and this was a Skid Row hotel and bar. Have you ever seen those places there? It's unbelievable. About a yard from hell. And these guys, I came into the bar, and just as I came up towards where my father was sitting, I don't ever forget this story. I've never forgotten it, not for a second. And I walked up to the table, and this guy threw up on my shoes. No, so he threw up on my shoes, right all over my shoes. And, but press on, so I made it to the bar. And of course, they wouldn't let me sit there because they wasn't going to order anything. I just wanted to be out alive is what I was thinking. Boy, talk about seedy. And so I visited, I did it, and then I came out, and I turned left on Scar Street, if you know Regina. And there was this woman stretched kind of on the billboard. She was kind of stretched like this, and she was out, and she said, I forget what the beverage was, but it was for elegant living. That's what it kind of was. For elegant living, try black velvet. Elegant living? What's that about? And then, so as I sat there in that seedy bar, trying to touch my dad's life, going out and seeing the lies of the enemy. There's nothing elegant about that, what I saw. It was terrible. And I thought, and there was, you know, there was this woman, she was laying on the table, and there was all kinds of things. And I went a number of times, because that's the only place I could ever get to visit him. But then I remember, I said, no, God can work a work, and I'll just be that instrument. Am I enjoying this? No, I'm not. Would somebody please clean my shoes? But see, what I'm saying is, it's not as clean as you think it is. It's people have a lot of problems, and all we can say is, Lord, here I am. And so God will use you. This thrills me when I think about it, because He's already using numbers of you. Well, I think in some ways He's using us all. But to encourage you to see yourself as the caregiver, never the cure giver. We're to care. And I like to think that if you plug into somebody and you attach yourself to them, and there's some chemistry, you've got something going between the two of you, and your friends become friends, and you do some things together and go to the Bible study together, and just finding out that the Christian life is interesting and exciting and real, because it is. This is, you will have the most fun you've had forever. There's just characters. I can go through my journal, and I thought, what a craziness. I said, man, this is better than going to church. This is interesting. And it has been. But we ended up doing church stuff and missing the real interesting stuff of touching lives and hanging out and seeing what God will do. To find out that person that you witnessed to and shared with has friends. All kinds of friends. You end up meeting those friends because they hang out with that individual. We're able to see what God can do. And sometimes it's not the person that you thought it was going to be that you're talking to and sharing with and being real to. And you think that's what it's going to be. And it's that person, it's the cousin. It was the cousin that was the most interesting. It was the cousin who wanted to go to church, not the guy that you met at work. And you can't say, But you just can't govern that. You let the Lord make the choices on that and to see what will happen. And so Christians are responsible for care. God is responsible for cure. I wish it was easier than that. But we're just somebody to come along, stay with them as much as you can. And that's our main job, is create these therapeutic moments where somebody might well give their heart to Christ. Oh my, that's so. And you'll get the crazy guys with the puppets. And you look back and you say, those great moments of trying to convey. How, you see, here's the thing, as we'll wrap it up here in a second, but here's the thing, that you will have the best journey of your life because you're available. It's the availability. And God's looking for people. He's looking for people. He said, she'd be fine, and he would be fine too. And so we say, God, here I am. What do you want to do? And you don't have to start working this up. You just, again, make yourself available. That's the word of it. And because it's exciting to watch what God will do in the life of a human being. It's exciting. It's wonderful. It's powerful in every way. And so he said, you're called to do good. When you see anybody and you have an opportunity, because that's the key word here is opportunity. If you use that opportunity, work with it, walk with it, and be all the way along, be absolutely 100% proof, or just authentic, that people can see through you, and there's nothing else by what they see. They just see you. But there's no phoniness, there's no craziness, there's just you and that person. And then I think I can see it, so even the prayer times, we're praying for those contacts that we've met, people we've really enjoyed. See, it's quite a thing. When somebody enjoys you, you have an opportunity to get to know them better and hope that something will change in that moment so we can just create the right environment that God would use. An instrument of God. And watch what will happen. Stand with me, please, if you would. I want to pray. Caregivers. I guess it's a good title, isn't it? Caregivers. You know, how many broken people do you think there are? Man. Their marriage failed. Their family failed. Their job failed. I don't know how we're going to touch them. I mean, I haven't got a plan. There's no blueprint. But you think there's not just one. There's scores. I think in many ways we are the answer. You know, with holding Jesus' hand and then plunging into relationships wherever we see an open, an openness, then you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to get to know this person. Go for coffee. Do something. Maybe just go for coffee. It doesn't have to be elaborate. But you make your way towards so that they would see that and be feel worthy. They'd feel that you could wouldn't hurt them. And so what I want to do, I want to pray for you today. And I'm going to pray the same prayer for me standing here. Because as September starts, everything kicks in, right? And we might be available to the Lord to see what he would do. What would he do? What would he do? So this is the part where you come in. Whereas I pray, if you think this is a good, valid thing, I'm going to get you just to close your eyes and just gently raise your hands. And you would just pray with me. Father, we're standing here together. Thank you for your hand upon us. Thank you for the call that we're caregivers. You can't cure anybody, but you could, Lord. And I pray this will be a very fruitful season. Absolutely, terrifically wonderful. I pray the journey will be wonderful too. People we meet, people who need you. And so, Lord, I pray that everybody here is under the sound of my voice. I pray, God, that you would touch them and prepare their hearts just to go deeper in entering into somebody's life. Lord, I know we don't have a great reputation sometimes as believers, but Lord, we do want to be genuine, authentic. So we say, Holy Spirit, come upon each person here today. Come upon them. Touch them. Fill them. Let that calling be clear, that their ministry is towards other people. And maybe we'll only be the one who prays. Maybe we won't do it all. We won't be included in all of it, but we'll have part of it. And I thank you for the Dales that thought that maybe I cared for him. And I thank you that I did. So, Lord, here we are together. We lift our hands to you in the name of Jesus. And we want to pray that there be an explosion out of this church of people full of the Holy Spirit and caring like crazy about people, that people matter. And that's what we would hope. Dear Lord, we hope that we could convey that people matter. Use us for your glory. Touch us, Lord. Oh, thank you, God. This is great work we're called to. This is kingdom work. Lord, we've been called to the kingdom to convey it and expand it. So thank you, Lord. Bless, I pray, the next service. May they have a wonderful sense, Lord, of your presence. We pray this in the strong name of our Lord. Amen. And amen. I think they still have coffee on this patio. So thank you for being here this morning. Join us on the patio if you would, and we'll have coffee together.